This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Nansen from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, as well as part of the Busted Open team. He's part of Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7, every Sunday from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time, Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, a lot to dive into as, you know, we've got Dynasty coming up this weekend in AEW, but where we begin is WWE, because we're getting closer and closer, of course, to WrestleMania, just over a week away from there. And it was a big week in WWE, from Pat McAfee being unveiled as the man who was on the phone with Randy Orton to a reportedly kind of, hey, go out there, Cody, cut a promo, because the reaction online wasn't very good, to the latest CM Punk pipe bomb. On the whole, just TKO putting their nose in, going over Triple H's head, and that whole situation. So this has really become the Unreal era of WWE, of course, kind of taking from that Netflix show that they have, where all the lines are blurred, and not necessarily blurred in the good way. So maybe that gives away my answer. Is the Unreal era, will it pay off for the WWE?
Not with the constant TKO involvement, Gabe. You see, there's got to be a separation of church and state when it comes to WWE. You have the financial side with TKO. They're doing all the funding. They feel like they want to jack up the ticket prices. They believe that professional wrestling can be as popular financially as the UFC and MMA. And I think that the three of us know that that's not how wrestling works. Wrestling is supposed to be for every economic group. The reason why wrestling is popular and has been popular for a long time is because the poor, the middle class, and the rich can all go, right? So that's the essence of wrestling. And you know who understood that? Vince McMahon understood that. Still, whatever you want to say about Vince, he understood the marketplace. And TKO doesn't care about that. He's trying to get the most money possible from wrestling fans, and that's not how it works. What we've been seeing here is so strange, Brian, in that they're doing a pivot in the middle of WrestleMania. We've talked about this already, but it's even more strange that you're not doing this in like June or July for some ancillary pay-per-view where you're just trying to garner interest in the summer in the dog days of wrestling. You're doing this right here on the doorstep of WrestleMania. It's so strange to me that CM Punk cuts the pipe bomb promo to try to get more people to come to Vegas. And then you have Pat McAfee doing what he did on SmackDown to try to get more people come to Vegas. Man, it is what it is. You don't need to be able to do these kind of, the sleight of hand and all these things to do to try to get more interest in WrestleMania. You know what they'll always tell you? They'll tell you, well, they're doing this because you want to get everybody on the tent. People that are non-wrestling fans and that are wrestling fans, you don't need to do any of this. The wrestling speaks for itself. You don't have to do all of this nonsense to try to get more people interested, because you know why? It's on ESPN. You can't get any bigger than that.
And so, also, like it's 2026. So the people that want to consume iShow Speed and McAfee and Lil Uzi and just all these other people, you're going to see it on TikTok. You're going to see it on YouTube. You're not saying, oh, got to book a plane ticket, got to go to Vegas to see this. Like, that's not how that works. Even to the fact that those fans that you're trying to get, those casual fans, they probably don't realize it's a night one and night two. And I know they announce where everything's going to be, but it's like, I have to see McAfee. Let me buy a ticket. You're there on Sunday. It's like, wait, where's McAfee? It's like, oh yeah, he was last night. Like, I don't get the end game to this. I applaud them for acknowledging, oh man, ticket sales are not great right now. We're all talking about it. It's the elephant in the room. But what's the end game? CM Punk, Cody, they say, oh, ticket sales are bad, lower the prices. Everyone cheers. But to every fan that has bought a ticket, you already spent that money. Like, how do you feel about yourself? And if you're lowering tickets, then all of a sudden it's like, ah, oh, maybe I'm going to go. I saw Meltzer put out some promo codes that are lowering tickets a little. So now in the 300 and 400 levels, you can get tickets at about $150. And that's with the discount code. But like, it just doesn't make sense, and I don't get what the end game is to this. Like, who is going to be the big bad TKO that Cody and Punk beat? Say, all right, we won. Now ticket prices are, well, the same price. Like, it's just baffling.
Well, and again, it feels like they're trying to do so many things at once, right? Like, okay, this is blowing up in our faces. Let's try to blur these lines. But, like, you've already lifted the curtain. Like, and look, the curtain was lifted – you know, because of honestly the interest in shows like ours. Like, we do interviews with a lot of wrestlers and we have the conversation. Do we think this is going to be in character or out of character? And we hope it's out of character, because that gives, again, I look at it as, you know, when, you know, a late night talk show, you know, whether it's Kimmel or Fallon or whoever, has a movie star on. Like, the movie star's not coming out there. You know, Johnny Depp's not coming out as Captain Jack Sparrow. You know, like, no, he's going to come out and promote the movie as Johnny Depp, right? And that's who we, even though they may have a stage name and that's who we introduce them as, that's what I'm kind of hoping. You get a look more into their life and what some of their goals in professional wrestling are. But they want to try to blur the line again where kayfabe is a thing. And look, it's too late for that. Like, that is, that we left that years ago, even before Unreal. And then you decided to try to profit off of it with the Unreal show with Netflix, and you're blurring these lines, and some people like it, some people don't. And I'm just talking about wrestlers who like it and don't like it. I'm not talking about the audience. And look, and if you want to watch Unreal, great, good for you. That's a part that I, because they're always trying to work it, I'm not into it. But if you are as a fan, I'm not going to tell you what to like and not like, or what, you know, that's, I don't think that's what you can do, but they're just trying to blur all these lines, and it just ends up being a mess where, to your point, Brian, you're going, okay, what's the end game? Like, where does this end? Who is, you know, again, then you've got McAfee going on his Twitter account or on his show trying to run kayfabe as a bad guy character, which isn't a good fit for him. And I'm somebody who likes McAfee in wrestling, because when he's on the color commentary, he's at least passionate. That's all I want in my broadcasters for any sport. How passionate are you about it? And he obviously has a good time. Michael Cole loosens up around him. It makes Cole better whenever he's on broadcast. But for him to be more of a character and be a heel character, I don't think that's going to work out for him. I don't think he's going to enjoy doing it because of the reaction that he's ultimately going to get. Like, the whole thing is just an absolute mess. And it's the... And honestly, I'm wearing my Masters gear today. Like, Jason Kelsey's out at the Masters yesterday, right? He's doing par three stuff. Like, I understand you want to draw in casuals, especially for big events, but you also don't want to alienate your core fan base, because that's the true fan base that's going to make the product work year round. So it's a delicate balance that you have to do. And I don't think they're threading the needle at all. I think they're just completely missing the mark. And it makes me feel bad for Triple H. We've blasted, you know, Hunter on this show with some of the booking and how it's uneven. Some of it's good, some of it's really bad. But from the looks of it, I don't think he had a say in the McAfee thing. He just had to accept it and now try to do the best that he can with it, especially with, once again, it happening so close to WrestleMania. And it just kind of, much like last year with The Rock and not being around, and that had to be forced upon him. Now it's just, it's leaving the fan base. The fans are the ones who are ultimately losing, because the stories don't make sense and it makes you less excited.
So seeing Pat McAfee come out there and kick Cody Rhodes in the balls just was so flat. But even worse, his explanation when he takes the microphone and explains why he's doing it. Because we all know when you put on sunglasses, you're a heel, brother. So you're out there with your sunglasses and you're explaining that I want wrestling the way it used to be in the Attitude Era. Do you know Randy Orton was not part of the Attitude Era? I mean, does Mr. Wrestling Pat McAfee understand that you want The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, which is great on the bottom of a comment section, but not necessarily great for 2026? It confuses the audience, because it's like there's a section of the fans that are watching this show, as a matter of fact, that says, I like wrestling during the Attitude Era. Great, but you're not going to get Vince McMahon's creative. You're not going to get Vince Russo's creative. You're not going to get The Rock and Stone Cold. You won't get any of those things in 2026. What they're trying to put together is that Cody Rhodes, QB1, the leader of today's WWE, sucks. That's a hell of a time to do that this close to WrestleMania. That's my point. That, first of all, two things. It's the timing of it and the messenger. So as I put a video out there, you know, at the time that this happened, I said, who cares what Pat McAfee thinks about today's wrestling? He's been away. Does anyone care about what he thinks of today's wrestling? That's why it doesn't make any sense. And then, of course, Randy Orton, who says that there's more than one royal family in wrestling. So what lineage is Pat McAfee, Brian, of wrestling? Does he have a father that used to wrestle, or a grandfather? What is that all about?
Yeah, it makes no sense. And then even, like, we've seen this play out over the last year or two with AEW, like with the Death Riders thing, where it's like, oh, AEW sucks, I'm going to save it. And the general consensus was, wow, this story sucks. Like, no one's into it. No one's getting over. So WWE's like, you know what? We should try that. And now they're almost getting too inside. Like, Cody made a Disco Inferno joke on Friday, and it fell completely flat. And, like, he's playing to the internet wrestling. Like, what are we doing?
Then Disco has to fire back on social media, and Disco's like, what? Like, does everybody always have to, like, do this and find out the hard way? Like, every wrestling company in the history of wrestling companies now has run a, oh, this product sucks. Like, but do it from a heel perspective, right? And it always stinks. The storyline's bad. No one's done it well. Do they think that, oh, but we're the ones who are going to pull it off? Everyone's yes. done it. Eventually, maybe, like you said, with the Death Rider stuff, like, eventually it kind of turned a corner, but that's because I think we knew it was yes. ending, right? And the Death Rider stuff now is fine because they're not trying to, you know, save AEW. They're just a group that's together. And I thought the main event was fun last night. But, like, nobody's done this well because, again, like, so what if you are a fan of the way things are right now? What if you are a big fan of Cody Rhodes and now you're being told that this sucks and it's about to change? Yeah. Like, I don't
or
know.
Or the other side. Like, if you again, agree with McAfee, if you're like, oh, I do miss those days. Like, why am I watching this? Like, how is that a successful right? business model?
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, this story was progressing just fine with Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, and maybe you wanted Randy to be booed more. I don't understand. Because, like, a lot of the fan base was supporting Randy before all of this, and now it's just... I don't even think people are supporting either side. They just go, oh, I don't care about this.
Yes.
All right, what else we got for Mania? Because that's what it's done for me. I was excited and I thought, okay, you're gonna have to do this. It's weird that they made, you know, you hotshotted the belt to Drew, now back to Cody. I'm sure they'll put something together, they'll be fine. I was wrong. This sucks. I don't care about it anymore.
Listen to the reaction to the Cody promo. Like, yes, people are like, oh, that was good, like it was off the cuff. There wasn't a reaction to it. He said McAfee. It's not like everyone's booing. It's not Dom heat. It's just like, oh, yeah. He makes a Disco joke. It's just silent. Like, the fans aren't into it. And I just don't get it. It's just baffling right now.
If you want to do that, you have to find a different messenger.
Sure.
I'll go in the writer's room with you guys, and let's just do this together. Okay, let's try to figure out how this can be a positive. So if Randy Orton was the one that says, I don't like the direction of WWE, I don't like the direction of Cody Rhodes being the face of the company. Okay, that's fine. From Pat McAfee. Why would that matter to me as a fan? If the story is Randy Orton as someone that's vying for the championship, I don't like the direction of the company. You can definitely go with that. That's fine. But to have this, again, the WWE is more of a murder mystery now than a wrestling company. To have this controversy, who's on the phone? It's Pat McAfee? It feels like that there was a miss there. Like, it could have been someone else, and they said no.
So, yeah, I agree. But to your point, Orton comes out, hey, I'm the veteran.
McAfee reportedly said no.
Yeah, there's
first.
That part also.
You know why? Because he doesn't like being unliked, because he's sensitive.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. And again, like, you can be a cool heel. This ain't how you right. do it, but like it.
But if Orton comes out,
he's not gonna like
if Orton's the veteran, he goes, hey, I'm the old guy, I'm the veteran. He's like, this place has gotten soft. You guys are PG, there's no blood. He busts open Cody. Great. Now we have a story. There's something you can work with there.
Now you're the Death Riders.
Sure. But like, at least there's something there, and Cody's the old guy, and or Randy's the old guy, and you play off of that. Like, McAfee's saying he's gonna go away if Orton doesn't win. Like, how does that benefit anyone? So I guess that's telegraphing that Randy's going to win. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, because I think I saw a report out there that Cody might have some movie projects or TV project or something coming up. So that would make sense of him losing. But again, you don't have to telegraph right. it like that. Like, I don't know, man. Like, the whole thing just... when we talked about it last week, who the guy on the phone was, never in my mind did I think it would be McAfee, and it ended up falling flatter than I thought. And again, this is coming from somebody. I think McAfee can be a positive to the wrestling business. This is just not how he becomes that positive. Because now you're also blowing up. Like, he can't be a commentator anymore, at least not without going away again.
His agent, Ari Emanuel, who also runs CKO, thinks that Pat McAfee is a star. He thinks that he's put him in this at the last second, shoehorning him in, as CM Punk said, shoehorning him in because Ari Emanuel wants it. That's what he wanted. And that's just not the right direction. You want to do this after WrestleMania? You want to do that? That's fine. But now I don't think it's the time. You are really showing us WCW 2000 by doing this. And by the way, we got plenty of examples of what you're talking about, Gabe, when you talk about when you shit on a company. It's kind of like watching a team that's over 500. And you're like, we're okay. Yeah. You know what? We're not bad. We're not great, but we're okay. And then a player just takes the microphone and just says, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I know you came here to watch our game. We suck. What you're watching is a bad product. Really? How do you think that would work? So to the WWE fan, they think it's fine. They think that the company's fine. Okay, there's some things they don't like creatively, but they're going to watch every week. Right. What you just did is you did Vince Russo 2001 as Hulk Hogan pins Jeff Jarrett, and Hogan said, no wonder this place sucks, and throws the mic down, right? You can't do that. You have to accentuate the positives. Even if your creative's not good, you have to say, we are moving forward. I'm back, and we're and you keep playing the song over and over again, you know?
We talked about it last week. There are fans that paid, what, $10,000 to be on a bus with Cody? Yes. How do they feel today? It's like, wait, this sucks. Like, why am I spending this money?
Yeah, so you tell the audience it's bad. You just can't do that. What they're trying to do, they're serving two masters. It is the WWE fan and the internet wrestling community at the same time. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Like, the internet's not real life. I thought WWE figured this out a long time ago. Like, I thought that they had left the internet wrestling community behind. Yeah, people are going to be upset online. People are always upset online. All right? Like, you know, it's that's just part of what it is. Like, the product, yeah, your creative wasn't fantastic heading into this WrestleMania. There's still some good things. Like, again, I've been enjoying the Punk and Roman Reigns stuff. Obviously, Oba and Brock, I think, is going to deliver the way that they have built that up. Like, there are still some good things on this card, but you didn't need to blow everything up. Because not only does this blow up, like, WrestleMania, this blows up, like, the direction the company's heading. Like, by just having, oh, one of our main storylines is going to be how this sucks. And, oh, by the way, if Randy wins, like, that storyline's going to continue and McAfee is going to be around. Like, I don't know.
And,
I don't know, man.
Put all this stock into Randy Orton. Let me just be the first to tell you, if no one else has told you, some of those reigns, boring. Boring. There was nothing spectacular about some of those Randy Orton. That's not necessarily because of him. It's about creative. But, Brian, if you go back and look at that stuff, right, some of that Randy Orton stuff, like, the creative was not great with it. And so now Randy Orton, who is heel, babyface, can't tell, that shades of gray nonsense, doesn't work, man. Not for the long haul.
Well, you get one coming soon. Again, number 15.
Hey, but again, it's not clearly defined who he is. Heel, babyface. Now, if you wanted McAfee to be part of this because he needed to add more heat, it's not working.
Right.
That's the problem.
Because there's still a lot of people like Pat McAfee, too. That's the whole thing with this. That's why it's just bizarre. It is.
Yep.
Let's move on. A lot of other things to dive into. We call it the three count here on GKW. The other top three stories in the world of pro wrestling. Brian, what's number one?
We are less than 10 days away from WrestleMania. We found out the night breakdown this week. Cody and Orton main eventing night number one, which will also include Stephanie Vaquer versus Liv Morgan, Seth Rollins versus Gunther, AJ versus Becky, the women's tag team title four-way. On ESPN2, it'll be Jacob Fatu versus Drew McIntyre, and the sixth man with Logan Paul, Austin Theory, Ishow Speed, the Usos, and LA Knight. That is night number one, Saturday. On Sunday, main event of Punk and Roman. We will also see Jade versus Rhea, Finn versus Dom, Sammy versus Trick, and on ESPN, the IC title ladder match and Oba versus Brock. If you can only watch one night of Mania, which one are you going with?
So first and foremost, before I answer the question, are we sure Liv's going to be cleared in time? her and Roxanne in concussion protocol. Did you see that thing was somewhere between, I mean, not quite baseball size, but she had a big old lump after going head to head with Roxanne Perez after Stephanie Vaquer came flying in during a segment on Monday Night Raw. Are we sure she's going to be ready to go for that match?
She's in protocol, according to sources.
Ice cubes. That helps.
Thank you.
Yikes. Yeah, for those who haven't seen it.
And also, apparently, Nikki Bella is trying to get cleared, so her spot in that women's tag title match possibly changing as well.
Good.
Oh, boy. I think the answer is pretty clear here, at least for me. It's night two, and I don't know if it's particularly close. Yeah. For a lot of the reasons that we had just mentioned with night one, with the main event being something they just made me not care about. They decided to, hey, we're going to make this so bad you don't care. That's not great. It's night two for me because after Punk and Roman, I'm most excited for Brock and Oba because of the way that they've built that out. And I'm just looking, I want alternate broadcast where it's just Big E getting excited about meaty men slapping me. That's what I want. With this on ESPN, they've got the Masters. They got four different channels going on with the Masters. I want one channel for Oba versus Brock with just commentary coming from Big E. That's what I want.
I see. So the very quietly sunset ESPN News, you want it on ESPN News. Very strange in the small towns, by the way. ESPN News still part of the dial on your hotel TV.
Yes.
Original font, by the way, on ESPN News. It's like you're waiting for Dave Revson to be able to pop up with a sports center. Like, ESPN News, really? Oh, okay. Interesting. It's night two. You know, if it wasn't for the history and the tradition of wrestling, Oba, Femi, and Brock Lesnar could be the main event.
Yeah. Or
the world title will be. But, I mean, I think as a promoter, you look at the match that garners the most interest and the most heat. And I just think that those two, every time they're together, the fans get into it. I had friends in New York at Madison Square Garden that said they heard Hogan-like pops for Oba, Femi. I'm like, how is that possible? It's the truth. When those lights went down, he comes out there and he does his little thing. He does his little strut when he comes out there. People are into it. I'm like, that's sonically, that's amazing sonic babyface reaction for a guy that hasn't even had five matches in WWE on the main roster. That's great. Mm-hmm. But people are so into this matchup because they all think that Brock's going down. And I just think that deserves a main event slot. It won't. But it deserves it for sure.
Not shocking. Again, the jokes we've made about Brock. Clearly, it's leading off night two.
Uh huh.
Yes.
Yeah. You're turning on ESPN, and that is what you're seeing first.
That's on the board in Vegas. Bet on it.
Right.
Yeah. He is going like if that's the first match, he's losing and he's going home.
I feel like they've done a good job the last few years since they've gone two nights of trying to make them balanced. This is not that. Like, looking at night two, like, you're into almost all that. Like, I'm into Finn and Dom because there's a story there. The IC ladder match is going to deliver because it's what it does. I'm very curious to see what Rhea and Jade looks like. I'm not saying I have high hopes for it, but I am very curious to see what it looks like. Trick is just as over as Oba. He's one of the most over baby faces. So, like, him and Sammy will be
good. But he's not a baby face. He's a heel.
I guess. Is he, though?
They attacked Sammy after the match. Sammy's
the heel.
What? So the baby faces have the numbers game?
Yeah, it's WWE logic, yes.
I'll tell you, if it's based on the crowd, definitely Trick Williams is the baby face.
Sure, but yeah. Storyline-wise, like...
Yeah, no question.
Sammy got attacked with his back turned on SmackDown. Like, that doesn't...
You like WWE? They built some transitional champions, haven't they? Cody, Jade,
yeah,
Sammy.
they built some short-term championship runs here.
So yeah, that's all the Sunday. The Saturday stuff, like, it's Fatu and Drew will be good. They've told a story there.
Again, it doesn't make sense, but go ahead. It's going to be an unsanctioned match to kick off the show or be in the middle of a card because that's just not how any of that works.
Ignoring all that.
I think the thing I'm most excited about looking at night one is probably AJ Lee and Becky Lynch.
Sure. It's
probably the best story that they've told on that side.
But also, did we need that at Mania?
Yes. Yeah. The AJ pop, absolutely.
No, I'm not saying that AJ. I'm saying AJ versus Becky. We've done it so many times. Like AJ versus Bayley that we got on Raw a couple weeks ago would have been awesome for Mania.
Oh, that's another transitional champion because Becky's well,
that is fair, yeah. So AJ can go back on vacation.
You know what's refreshing about the show now after 4 years of doing happy anniversary, fellas? Uh-huh. I like Gabe as a traditional wrestling fan now that says that the lights out match should be at the end. Now he's from 1984. That's been me the whole time. Now he says how that works. Tape.
Wow. It doesn't make any sense. You know, like, oh, hey, we're going to stop this baseball game so we can do a rehab start in the middle of it and then get back to the regularly scheduled program. Like, that doesn't, what?
You also get it on free TV.
Well, you do, yes. Yes.
Vince is
unsanctioned. Unsanctioned. That makes no sense. But at least with, like, the AJ, to me, AJ and Becky have kind of reached fight forever, like, because sure. Becky is such a good character. Like, yes. She is such a good character. Whatever she's doing, I'm into. So, like, her and AJ Lee being her foil, and AJ's been fantastic since she's come back. So, while I agree, did we need this? No. Am I into it because of the two performers and how good they are? Absolutely. Because you needed to have, I mean, both these people needed to be on the card, yeah. And you needed to do something for them. And so, why not just continue this blood feud?
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of sheer wrestling, that match will be up there at the end of the weekend as one of the best matches. I'm sure they won't get a ton of time to work, but I feel like those two will make the most of it, and that will be one of the best wrestling matches we see at Mania.
I thought their promo was very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was very good. Michael Cole tried.
I mean, poor Michael Cole. It finally feels like him and Bayley, you know, like Bayley stopped picking on him, so now it's Becky's turn to just go after Michael Cole.
Becky called him the worst announcer in 30 years. Again, internet wrestling community.
Yeah, she handed out awards. He won worst announcer. I believe Todd Pendergast won best announcer from Becky.
It's just, you're right. It is top heavy for night two. And night one is, it's fine.
Happening, yeah.
Fine. All of this to me is Double or Nothing, AEW, this whole thing. You put this all in one night, it'll be fine.
Yeah, because, I mean, night two, I mean, I'm bummed that they did, especially because they did, like, they had Finn out earlier in the night, and then they decided to run the backstage promo of him announcing the demon. And I know he prefers the demon be kept a secret. Obviously, that wasn't his call, so I wish the demon would have been a kept secret because that would have been just a cool thing for people in attendance. But Jade versus Rhea is probably the worst thing on night two. And it's got one of the most over stars in Rhea wrestling in it. So it can only be like the floor of that can only be so low because of how over Rhea is.
Also, Kit Wilson has called out Danhausen to face him and The Miz in a handicap match at Mania. So we'll get a Danhausen match, which I assume is night two because they have one fewer match.
It should be on SmackDown.
Danhausen can do both nights.
No, no one wants to see that.
Have you heard the pops?
No, it's fine, but they're usually backstage.
Oba and Danhausen is WrestleMania 43 main event at this rate for the title. That's the path we're on in the WWE right now.
Would not surprise me in this company, the way the creative... No, it would not surprise me. Can I book Jade and Rhea real quick?
I'm sure they'd appreciate that.
I'll book it. Very simple. It's a short meeting, too. Okay. You don't need a long time on the Zoom. Short meeting. 60-second squash. Rhea wins. Goodbye.
Ooh.
Seriously.
Ooh.
No, like, we know what this is. This is to protect Jade.
How do you come back from that, though, if you're Jade?
With a vengeance with the baddies.
I don't think they're called that anymore.
I mean, ooh. But she said that in an interview, by the way. I just saw her talking about, you know, I'm just glad I'm with two of my baddies. Like, oh, you brought the AW turf back. Do you like that creative? I mean, look, the entrances are going to be 10 minutes. Okay.
Yes.
So this is to protect Jade. Just like that, you know, her fit, you know, the bell rings, Jade misses a clothesline, and then the finish by Rhea, 1, 2, 3. I don't want to see that 10 or 15 minutes through. I think we know what this is with Jade Cargill, don't we? Don't we know what that is?
Okay. Well, so Brian, you mentioned how does she come back from that? If they give them 10 to 15 minutes, how does Jade come back from that?
That is a good point also. Yeah. Now that you lay those two out, I'm not sure which one is more terrifying for the future of Jade Cargill in the WWE. Huh.
Jade can go away for a while. You learn new holes, JR. Go and learn new holes. I think that's, Dave, do you agree with that creative?
Yes, I would be so behind it. Because, again, it just puts Rhea over. And, like, the reaction that you would get, because, again, the crowd would be buzzing, and all of a sudden she squashes her, you'd get a big pop because Rhea is so over and everybody wants her to win.
Yeah.
I think that protects Jade. And before the outside interference will happen, because, you know, we know what it looks like. It's 11 minutes, a lot of heat on Rhea, on Jade. She's just on top of Rhea, pounding away. It's outside interference. And then Rhea gets help from Io Sky from the outside, yeah, try to level the score a little bit, and then Rhea wins in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
That's the match.
That could be a fun exercise next week. How many of these 14 or so matches will have outside interference?
13.
All right. Well, I mean, we could do that right now. So let's just start. So Vision and I Show Speed versus the Usos and LA Knight.
That'll be fine. That's the one you don't need.
No, yeah. LA, Logan brings out someone from YouTube that us old people haven't heard of that the fans pop for. And then we have to Google after, like, who is that guy?
Fatu versus Drew. Doesn't seem like he's going to have any.
Okay.
Stephanie Baker versus Liv Morgan. Of course it will.
Yes.
AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch. Probably not.
No, there's no help there.
Okay.
No. Fatal four-way tag team match. I mean, just by saying fatal four-way just implies that somebody else has got to be getting involved at some point there. Seth versus Gunther. Especially since Gunther is somewhat aligned now with Paul Heyman. Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton with Pat McAfee. Absolutely outside interference.
All to roll, nonsense.
Yeah. Oba versus Brock. If they're dumb enough to put outside interference in this one, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Paul's there, right? Paul coming down?
Yeah, Paul is there, but I don't think, like, Paul didn't interfere when Brock beat Taker, right? Like, just because Paul's there doesn't mean there's necessarily interference.
He didn't interfere because he didn't know the finish. He was shocked like the rest.
Six-pack ladder match?
Interference.
Probably.
Yeah, someone comes out because to take a bump.
You almost have to at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like it's got Judgment Day members in it. Jade versus Rhea, you got the baddies there, so yeah. Zayn versus Trick, going to have outside interference there. Finn versus
Yachty will be there, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that's where you get the outside interference. Finn versus Dom, of course, going to have outside interference. Punk versus Roman, probably going to have outside interference.
So at most, we've got to four. And some of those were debatable. Four will not have interference.
Correct.
Great.
How Triple H came up, man.
But that's the Attitude Era that Pat McAfee is clamoring for.
If you really want that, then these matches will all be 5 minutes. People forget about that shit. We're on SmackDown. These matches will have outside interference and all these crazy promos and stuff like that. You want to go back to that? I do not.
So. All right. On that note, what do we have at number two, Brian?
In the world of AEW, Sunday night from Canada, AEW Dynasty, the main event. MJF versus Kenny for the AEW world title as we're on the path to Wembley. What is better for Wembley, MJF versus Ospreay or Kenny versus Ospreay?
It's MJF versus Ospreay. Like, MJF is, if he's not, he's arguably the biggest star in AEW. Like, he's fantastic. The work rate is fantastic. And that's not to say anything about Kenny, but, like, Kenny's just at a point in his career where I don't think we look at Kenny the same since he came back from the diverticulitis, right? Like, he's put on some good matches, but he's not the best belt machine. He's not the guy he was when AEW started. He's not, which is fine. That happens. That's to me, like, kicking off a long, and again, I think that MJF and Ospreay are going to be wrestling a lot over the next 10 years. Like, this is a big, it could be as long as both stick around AEW and both stay healthy, like one of those rivalries that we talk about that define an era, you know, the way we talk about Rock and Austin in the Attitude Era, right? Like that's the way we talk about that. That's where it starts. Whatever this next era is for AEW, MJF and Ospreay at Wembley could kick that off. So I think the answer is, for me at least, MJF and Ospreay.
So I'm watching Dynamite like the rest of us who watch Dynamite from Edmonton. And I watch Kenny Omega with that three-piece suit doing a promo. And I go, oh, my God. He's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He actually makes fun of himself by saying, I'm not a good promo. But, my yeah. God, that meandering, whatever he was saying in Edmonton where the crowd was falling asleep. It's like, dude, you're in a main event against MJF. Can you give us a little energy? My God. Like, I know he's supposed to be cool and he's different and kind of quirky and all that. He's certainly a guy that lets the in-ring speak for itself because it ain't on the mic. He did not sell one ticket yesterday. He did not. I was just like, what?
Luckily, I don't think there are too many left. There's still some, but no, he did not sell any tickets.
Yeah.
So anyway, we talk about MJF. So listen, MJF, I've said all along that MJF, the next time he loses the championship, is going to be with Will Ospreay. If Ospreay can survive, this nonsense from Tony Khan, having this guy out there every week busting his ass just because he's available, it makes no sense to me. And I know that there is a booking difference between, Brian, the WWE, AEW, New Japan, everyone else. I just know if it's WWE, traditionally, Ospreay's out there talking to the crowd. He may be in peril maybe week two, week three. He's out there giving you 20 minutes, 30-minute matches this close to the pay-per-view. Hopefully, this will not be like our buddy Kyle Fletcher, in which Will Ospreay can survive Wembley, and he can be the world champion. He can be close to 100% because him out there with these matches, unnecessarily wrestling, even close to this pay-per-view, makes no sense.
Yeah, I agree. To your point, by the way, about tickets, checking Wrestle tickets as of yesterday, about 800 seats left. They just opened some other areas of the upper deck. So it's essentially a sellout this weekend.
Not one ticket.
It's from yesterday, so maybe they added some.
So when that happened with Ospreay and he brought his backup yesterday, I thought, oh, they're going to change this to an anarchy in the arena. I thought they were going to flip because, again, my issue right now with Ospreay and Mox is, okay, if Ospreay wins the Continental Championship,
right?
How are we getting to MJ? Like, so he's going to be a double champ? And again, they have too many championships to begin with, but the one they need to delete is the one that Okada's walking around with because they do the Continental Championship. Like, that's a big part of their programming at this point with the C2 at the end of the year. So...
Don't forget, we also are going to have the Owen coming up, which usually results in, right, the all-in title shot is the winner of the Owens.
I mean, they did that once. They did that this last year. Because, like, when Britt and...
Cole.
And Cole won it, it was just, you won the tournament. And it was a great photo op for the two of them. Like, you didn't get a championship match because you won. So they did that last year. I don't know if that's going to continue, what they're going to do there, but I mean, Ospreay, there's a chance Ospreay loses this week. So I don't know what they do, which is why I thought, oh, he's got this backup. They haven't had anarchy in the arena in a minute. So maybe they were going to do something like that. And obviously they did not change that.
Is there a world where I'm just trying to think? So Darby's in the next pay-per-view. Then I think we get to All In after that. Is there a world where they swerve us and it's not Ospreay main eventing Wembley?
Then it's, you think it's Kenny again? Who else would it be? Swerve? Darby?
Swerve and Darby there. I mean, Darby's getting it at the next pay-per-view.
It's got to be somebody from the UK because someone's got to be able to sell those tickets.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, listen, you go from 80,000 to what, 40,000 the next year? You want Ospreay to have his coronation in the UK. Listen, nothing against Kenny and Ospreay. I want to make sure it's clear before you move on. I got no problem with Kenny and Ospreay. I just don't want the stip to be, you know, whoever loses dies.
Right. That makes sense.
I mean, that's so I don't want someone to die in the ring.
What is that? A loser leaves Earth match? Like, is that?
Loser the fall must die. Kenny, I guess Will Ospreay.
Well, then I feel like you have to put Darby in there to make that a three-way. Like, he's not going to let that go without him.
That's, and it shouldn't. You know, right. And to his credit.
Even last night, the way they, like, swung him over, I'm like, what are we doing?
That would be the real Survivor Series. Right. That's exactly what it would be. That's exactly right. So that's why I don't want that match in Wembley. I know that, like, can you turn the clock back about 5 years, 7 years? Like, yeah. Now?
I mean, it was, when was the last? It was a few years ago when we saw it. I think they did the two. They did a Wrestle Kingdom one, and I think it was Forbidden Door. Like, those were great.
Mm-hmm.
That's only a few years
ago. Look, and Kenny, and I'm not saying Kenny's bad in the ring. Like, Kenny, he's just, he goes just fine. It's just not, he's not the best belt machine anymore.
Right, which is fine.
And this matchup coming up in Vancouver is going to be great. It's going to be because it's Ospreay, it's Omega, so it's going to be
great. Yeah. Like he knows. I mean, he's more aware of his limitations than me, and he knows how to best operate within those limitations now.
Sure.
Like that's and he's still going to put on a heck of a match. But in terms of putting together the biggest and best match that you can, it's MJF Ospreay.
Yeah, I think a lot of the success AEW is having right now is because of the main event scene, and the main event scene is anchored by MJF as the champion. They tell better stories when he is front and center, and that's where they're at right now.
MJF has been a great representative for AEW, especially this time around, a lot more mature.
Yeah.
He's just not doing the insult the comic dog nonsense. He actually is representing the company really well. So I like him as champion. When he beat Brody King the way he did with the Heat Seeker, I'm like, oh, you didn't need outside interference. You didn't need all this sleight of hand. He just beat his ass. When he beat Speedball, same way, like, oh, okay. He's being his business. He's not fucking around, which I love.
Because, again, he's, you know, we've talked about this before, like, I'm very underrated in the ring. Like, he's delivered a lot of really good matches, and that's not a coincidence. That's not just because he's wrestled Punk or Danielson or Kenny or Swerve or any of the other guys he's gone up against. Like, he's a good dance partner, too. He doesn't get as much credit as some of those guys, but he's a really good dance partner and knows what he's doing.
By the way, a very brief side note. I'm listening to Unsportsmanlike between 5 and 9 Central on ESPN Radio, right? I'm listening to Evan Cohen, the leader of Good Karma Wrestling, I guess. And he's done something that I think all three of us wish that we could have done in our sports conversation. He talked about Myles Garrett being QB1 for the Browns, like Cody Rhodes is QB1 in WWE. And I said, you know what? Well done. Yeah. We've had to suppress that for years, right. Not using wrestling because we thought we'd lose the audience, right? But now WWE is such in the bloodstream of ESPN, he could just use wrestlers and storylines and all of this to talk about football or any other sport. It's just like, I've been waiting for this for 30 years.
Danhausen got a mention this week.
That's crazy.
Because Michael Thompson said the Lakers are being Danhausen cursed right now with all their injuries.
We've been waiting for this for years, and now we can just bring up wrestling stuff to fix it with our sports conversation.
Quickly on Danhausen, I really enjoyed how Tess is able to add the Housens to the end of words, the way Danhausen does while he's providing his camp, you know, all these Fanhausens borderizing on Stanhausens on their feet here. Like, Tess just gets, like, again, Tess just gets it. He's he's really, really good.
Completely understand.
That's someone that, you know what, I know, speaking of Evan, gave us, you know, guest ideas and goals. I want to have Joe Tess on. I want to have Joe Tess on GKW at some point, because I just respect what he is doing. And again, the next step is when he's doing a college football playoff game, if he works a WWE reference in then, that's then you know that it's really made it.
That's great. Did you write that down, Brian?
Joe Tess. Wrote it down.
We got to know people that can get us Joe Tess.
I would like to think.
But again, for Wembley, back to AEW. Yes, it's MJF, it's Ospreay, but they do have Dynasty coming up this weekend, which, you know, ho-hum, going to be another really good card.
It's only the best. It's where the best wrestle. Ho-hum.
It's Thursday. They've only announced 8 matches. Can they show restraint and keep it at 8?
No.
Okay.
Don't forget.
They're going to announce four more on Collision on Saturday night.
Four more on Collision and four more for the dark matches. And by the way, RIP for now for our guy Kyle Fletcher. Can we get him on, by the way?
Yeah. And out an extended period of time, apparently meniscus, some other injuries, had to vacate the title. Sad about Fletch.
Let's get him on and to see if he's okay.
That's right. Now Sky Blue gets to be nursed the way he was for her.
Yeah, we got to check in on our occasional co-host, Kyle Fletcher, here on GKW. All right, bro, what do we got at number three this week?
All right, another guest joining us this week. The opportunity to cut to Vampiro, WCW legend, Mexican legend, and he had some interesting things to say. Here's our discussion with Vampiro from this week.
He loves weed.
Welcome in, GKW. Brian Rowitz with you. We're getting closer and closer to Vegas, where the wrestling world will take over. And one part of that will be JCW Stranglemania, which will include the final match of our guest joining us now, Vampiro. Before we get to Vegas, here we are today, about a week away. Where are you currently?
I'm in the mountains of Jalisco in Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, I am here because I am a tequila distiller, and it's a new project of mine, and we're here making our next batch of tequila. And I'm not kidding you, brother. I'm in the mountains.
All right, well, I will say I think this might be our first interview that's done with someone in a mountain. I'm always a fan of tequila, so congrats on that. We're a week away, over a week, Friday, April 17th in Vegas. You can join us in Vegas or watch on Triller, JCW Stranglemania, the final match of your illustrious career. How did you come to this decision to say, all right, this is where I want to put the bow on it?
Well, I've been kind of, you know, because of thank you, first of all, for letting me be on your program. I'm not sure if you can hear the music in the background, brother. You're in Mexico now. I've been saying goodbye to wrestling for a while because of age and because of injuries, serious injuries. I was in a wheelchair for a while. And I did a great retirement tour in Mexico because I've been here for so long, and it was so much fun. I've got one more goodbye to Europe coming up in the end of the year. But I to me, the best time I've had or the greatest memories I have or what's important to me is my time with JCW. The friendship and, of course, the love of the promotion. So when I got the opportunity, you know, Violent J called me and he said, you know, what do you feel about this? And I was like, hell yeah, of course, you know, because nobody else in the wrestling world wants to even talk to me. And that's completely fine. But to be able to do this in a place where I call home with my friends, my family, there's absolutely no way I would say no. So it's I'm nervous about it. I'm really nervous about it, to be honest with you. And I just love it. I think it's awesome.
What does it mean? You know, you hear about the circles in pro wrestling, but to have ICP that sort of transcend wrestling, to still have that relationship, what does that mean to you on a personal level?
It means a lot because first and foremost, I came from what alternative music inspired me as a youth, you know, the fashion, the rebellion, the attitude in school or whatever choices I made in life came from participating as a member of alternative music, as a fan and as an active musician. So to have met people like ICP who became friends instantly and who are so responsible for so many things, you know, a lot of the verbiage that's used, controversial or however you want to put that under that banner. But to me, the innovation, you know, when you're there as part of the creation, you know, the horrorcore and all of that stuff when that first started, and then them not backing down from a stance, to me, that's the greatest part of my relationship with them, is I get to be around somebody who authentically made a difference in music. And then to have them involved in pro wrestling and then to still have that friendship, you know, in the entertainment business, you don't really have a lot of friends for a long period of time. And to be friends with them for almost 30 years, yeah, that's a lot. That's a big deal.
You talk about this pro wrestling world, ever evolving, ever changing. You've been around it for a few decades. When you look at wrestling today versus when you started, what's the biggest thing that's changed where you're like, oh, didn't see that one coming?
How organized it is in the mainstream. How if you look at AEW or you look at WWE as two examples, right? And we'll get, even to put JCW in there, because you can look at three different versions of this product, and you look at how smooth it runs now with the fans. The fans are invested. It's not out of curiosity now. It's not going to be like 2 or 3 weeks, I want to see this, and then after that, I move on. You have people who are really putting in time. What I see different is the acceptance and the level of women's wrestling. I didn't see that coming. Sure. And I feel like the women deserve this so much. But the women are actually harder workers than most of the men right now, from what I've seen. You know, I'm not going to make a lot of friends saying that, but I'm not really here to make friends. So I really like what's going on with the women. I think some of the guys have really stepped it up. You can see the body types from my generation who are really tall dudes, really big animals. And now it's a lot more streamlined, a lot more athletic. I think it's evolved the way it's supposed to, which means, like everything else, you know, in music, there's always a rebirth, right? Rockabilly music, for example, when the Stray Cats came out, it was a rebirth of that genre of music. If you look at JCW, you know, everybody says, or the tagline is, you know, classic wrestling. I don't even know what the fuck that means, but I remember watching Mad Dog Vachon come in the ring and jump up and down and bite the ropes and all that kind of stuff. That's why I wanted to be a wrestler. I didn't want to give you a headlock. Fuck that. So when you see a guy in JCW come on out, you know, you see zombies come out. You see people from the occult come out. You see killer clowns come out. You see the characters come out. You see cocaine come out. You see a guy come out with a bag of fucking cocaine, and that pops the house. I mean, gracias. That's the classic part of it. The old school style. I love that so much. So I think those are the things I've noticed. And I hope I didn't go on and on and on and on with that answer.
You're good. We talk about some of the legends in this business, yourself included. We've talked to people on the show about working with Sting towards the back end of his career. You had that opportunity closer to the heyday of his career. What was it like being in the ring with Sting and getting to work with him on a weekly basis?
I was fun. I mean, I've heard different versions from him that he didn't really enjoy it. I did. I learned a lot. Sting was kind to me. He was polite to me. He was professional. I mean, he never said no to, if they gave him instructions, that if that's what you wanted, that's what you got. So he really taught me a lot about that kind of stuff. And just the American psychology, especially if you're a character, you know, you don't have to do this. Your output is a lot different than somebody who needs to construct their match different. With him, it was probably, I would say, in the top three experiences I've had in my career. I learned the most from him. To me, he was a complete pro, complete gentleman. You might not have liked me, and we saw each other about 2 years ago, and I went up to him, and we kind of, whatever had to be smoothed out was smoothed out, but I've got nothing but love and respect for him.
The back end of WCW, you see it, it still sort of lives on social media, some of the stuff that came out of it. What were some of the angles or stories that you were involved in or not involved towards the back end? We're like, this is what we're doing? Because some of those were definitely head scratchers towards the end. Do you have any that stick out going back to the end of WCW?
Well, the whole experience was a fucking head scratcher for me. I didn't get it. I was blessed to have been at a very high level of success in other countries and involved with music for about 25 years before I got to WCW. So when I got there, I looked at a lot of newer people in the industry who were not who believed the hype, who really thought that they were famous and had a, this was going to last forever type thing. And then the attitude and the arrogance of a lot of the dressing room. I don't have anything good to say about WCW at all, except I made some good friends. I had some great experiences with the fans, but fuck, I hated it.
Oh, okay. Hey, there's Vampiro's thoughts on WCW.
Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. I want to know, Vampiro, about what's happening now in 2026, the relationship that WWE and AEW have with CMLL and AEW and AAA. What are your thoughts about the relationship? How much does that enhance what is happening in Mexico with those brands?
I got thank you for your question. I don't really, believe it or not, I have zero contact with AAA. Even before I finished my last dates, we had stopped talking. There's no heat. There's nothing bad to say. It's just, you know, I didn't know about their negotiations with WWE till I saw it on like Instagram, like a month or two after the deal was done. I had no idea. The reason I say that is because I wasn't even included in the plans. You would think if I've been here for four decades, I'm bilingual and I've been all over the world and I know this inside out, you would at least consider me in a conversation. They didn't do that. And that's okay. No harm, no foul. But it really offended me, kind of, that you wouldn't even tell me we don't want you. At least send me to hell. You know what I mean? Don't let me find out on the news. Not like I cared. So do I have any opinions on the AAA WWE thing? I don't know anything to have an opinion. I'm out of the loop. I have no idea. I don't even know where they do their shows. I will say, though, that AEW with CMLL is phenomenal, because I have a feeling the AEW is going to use the Mexican talent a little bit more. And the CMLL guys right now, the stuff they're doing in the ring, you're like, what the fuck am I watching? These guys are going to kill themselves. They're insane. And the crowd is coming back. So I think that's going to be interesting, because I don't think the WWE is going to use the Mexican talent as they could. Does that kind of answer something?
Yeah, totally makes sense. I, you know, while you're in it, maybe you don't know, Vamp, but as a fan, watching Lucha Underground was so different at the time. We're watching as fans, you're like, boy, I'd love to go to LA. I'd love to be able to travel Lucha Underground. When you look back at Lucha Underground, what are your fondest memories and things that you say, boy, I wish it could still be going on right now?
They had the best weed in California. And they had these edibles, and they were fucking mental. They had like that California rapper weed, you know? That's a whole other fucking thing. And I miss that a lot. I wish that we still had those trips to California, because that was, you can only get it there, right? So that's one of the downsides about not being able to shoot in LA anymore. I really wish that they would have toured. I think that after, you know, the beginning of season two, the end of season one, right there, if they would have went on the road, I really think that Lucha Underground would still be here. I think it was set to do a lot more. I think they could have kept it out of arenas and kept it around 3,000 seat places, so that they would have that interaction with the fans. Because what really made Lucha Underground was the fans, the energy of the fans. The wrestling was phenomenal. But if you come from Mexico, and you see that every day, it's like, okay. But to have that connection with the fans, that was the rock and roll part of it. So I miss that like crazy. And I truly believe we would have been on par with the cult status, like an ECW, kind of like that, I'm pretty sure. But it would have been national, because we would have been on the road. I wish that would have happened, but, you know, like any other, so I've heard, I don't know. But I'm told that wrestling companies kind of fuck things up for themselves. You know, so I truly believe that's kind of what happened in Lucha Underground.
That makes sense. Friday, April 17th, JCW Strangle Mania in Vegas. Vampiro, before we let you go, what should fans expect from this show? Why should they order it on Triller? Or why should they join you in Vegas at the Horseshoe Casino?
Well, they shouldn't join me. Okay. They should join JCW. I'm just one part of the, I'm just an ingredient in that buffet. You know what I'm saying? Obviously that weekend in Las Vegas, because of what it entails, you know, all of the wrestling community in the world will be there. This is something, you know, there's always a breakout something. Last year, that was when they announced the Mexico deal, and that kind of was the big news of the weekend. Right now, there's a lot of indie stars, and, you know, wrestling is so interesting because even a small indie company has worldwide, oh my God, news. Like, there's this next breakout star, this angle, this storyline. I have no fucking clue. I think it's really cool what's going on, that all the companies are working together, and that's giving the fan. Like, if I had access to this when I was growing up, this would have been incredible as a fan to see it. I see things like JCW, who we do weird things like shows at midnight and shows at the weirdest hours, is the coolest thing. Because if you're a wrestling fan, you're probably playing PlayStation. More than likely, you don't have a girlfriend, and you smoke a lot of weed. And you take Viagra just to see if your wiener works. So when you're in that state of mind and you're in Las Vegas and it's wrestling fucking weekend, and you're either going to go to your hotel room and fondle yourself, or stare out the window and say, I wish I could be doing something cool in Las Vegas. You're like, oh my God, that fucking crazy JCW show is starting at midnight. So it's totally fucking awesome, man. So what you should expect is fun. The cool thing about JCW, the ICP people are hanging around. All the stars of the show are hanging around. I'll be hanging around. So it's really a moment where you were going to get to interact with the fans a lot. So if you're into that, and you want to meet the crew, and you want to have a fun experience, I think that's what you should expect from JCW for sure, 100%.
I don't think there's a better sales job than that from Vampiro. Friday, April 17th, JCW Stranglemania. Vampiro, appreciate the time. See you out in Vegas.
I'll be in my room fondling myself until then.
All right.
Okay. You know, hey, shout out to Vampiro, I guess.
Yeah,
interesting.
Doing his part to promote.
Yeah. Just by... If you're a wrestling fan, check it out. If not, I don't know.
I told you interesting, did I not?
You did, especially right at the end when the approach he took there. All right, let's move on. What do you got in news and notes this week?
All right, there. Speaking of Vegas, some changes to some matches next week in Vegas. Some cancellations due to, well, TNA. Leon Slater versus Ricochet, that was supposed to take place at the March Hancock Memorial Show, will not be happening. Nick Nemeth versus MJF at Creative Pro May 1st. Probably not happening as well. A TNA statement says, quote, wrestlers have been pulled due to partner conflicts. Reports are that TNA is moving towards not allowing talent to work with AEW or other companies, and they were not happy with AEW making the move to Thursday a week ago, the same time as TNA.
Well, I mean, this stuff is going to happen, right? We've seen it with all this wrestling that's out there. Like, Turner has the NCAA tournament. Turns out that takes precedence over Collision on Saturday night. Who would have thought? So they had to put it somewhere. They weren't going to go head-to-head with SmackDown on Friday night. So Thursday it was. Sorry, TNA. And yeah, I guess that's WWE flexing some muscle there. I'm bummed because I thought Nemeth versus MJF was going to be a hell of a show.
So if TNA talent can't take on other talents in indies, where do they wrestle? How do they get better?
They wrestle at TNA, and once in a blue moon, you get to job out the WWE talent. And that's why you work for TNA.
That's okay. All right. I think that's bad that you should be able to, again, for young talent, you got to continue to work. So if you're not going to take on AEW talent or be on indie shows, you don't get better.
So. This is also a massive PR win for AEW.
Yes, yeah. It is. So for one night, you're afraid that you're going to be... you know, taken down because of ratings one night. I mean, TNA fans are going to watch TNA. AEW fans are going to watch AEW. So what's the point? It's just for one week.
MJF retweeted one of the reports about him being unhappy about the Thursday thing, said, quote, it's called being preempted due to March Madness. This guy is actively a dumb MF-er. Congrats. You pay your talent shit, then force him off shows where they can make money. Hashtag LOLTNA.
All fair.
Couldn't sum it up any better.
100%.
Well, speaking of some other companies, the NWA has a new television deal announced this week. They will premiere on Watch Comet, a nationally broadcast network owned by Sinclair that currently are on Roku Sports.
I think TNA was on Comet. Oh. One at a time. I believe they were.
I clicked on their Twitter, their bio, by the way. It's your home for sci-fi, cult classics, and out-of-the-world TV.
I think that's the only time that I remember Comet. I remember wrestling used to be on Comet. I think it was TNA, one of their, you know, sojourns to Destination America and the TV Guide channel and other places where they were. So that sounds familiar to me. That, I mean, no surprise. Sure, Comet.
Sounds like Hood signing up for NWA watch-alongs.
Best of luck to our guy Billy Corgan.
No? All right, finally.
No, I'm not watching NWA on comics. I'm not watching. No.
Finally announced this week, Hulk Hogan Real American documentary coming to Netflix April 22nd. The four-part series features the final interview ever with the Hulkster before his passing.
Awesome. Won't watch it.
The preview shows Bret Hart calling him a liar.
I'll see the clips on TikTok. Because you know why? If it's Terry saying it, I don't know what's true.
Right.
That's the thing. That's like, if you had a real documentary with the real truth about Hulk Hogan, it's fine. Every time we see one of these, it's so much untruth and lies and just like, you know, go around and, you know, the world according to Hulk. And it's just not interested. Not interested in it.
That makes sense.
It's like anything with like any biography, whether it's a documentary, whether it's a book, obviously you want an interview with your subject, but that also makes it more difficult because they're going to want creative control. That's going to make it more difficult to tell the complete picture and the whole story.
Yeah. Yep.
What did you boys have for your matches of the week?
Well, ChatGPT up here tells me that Will Ospreay and the United Empire against John Moxley and Death Riders. A chaotic eight-man tag war with wild brawling, big spots, and storyline progression. Craig Carmerson told me to read that. nearly 21 minutes and felt like a pay-per-view level main event, it says on ChatGPT for that one. And by the way, I don't know about you, Gabe. Kind of lost. Turn on the middle of that match and I go, who are these people in shirts and ties? And did Will Ospreay have a wedding?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you missed just the very beginning, you have no idea who those people are. And he introduced them right, you know, at the end of the segment. But kind of weird at the beginning, and then they closed it out, and it was good. But if I'm picking one from last night, I'm picking Willow and Queen Amidala. Like, yep. I thought that was the best match of Dynamite last night.
Willow is currently taking the Orange Cassidy. Let's just put on a banger every week with the title.
Willow retained in a very competitive match. Frequently called match of the night contender, hard hitting women's match with strong crowd reaction.
Yeah, Willow posted on Instagram. She has some souvenirs from that match from Queen Amidala.
Yeah, but I saw boo boo face from Queen, by the way, when she came back. I come back to lose, huh? Again.
It's a hell of a match.
Really,
I enjoyed the tag match from SmackDown, the women's tag match. Like, they're just doing different iterations without the Bella Twins right now because, as you mentioned, Nikki's trying to get back. But they're just doing different iterations of all these other tag teams and putting them in matches that are going to be in that. And I've enjoyed it. They put on a good show.
Oh, you mean Rhea Ripley and Io Sky against Meechan and B-Fab?
No. I am talking – I am not talking about that one. It was Charlotte and Charlotte Alexa. And Lexi versus But it was, I just remember like making it like, yep, this is the best thing SmackDown's doing tonight.
Sammy and Mello was good also to end the show.
Yeah, it was, but I guess it was just the ending was kind of weird. Yeah, yes. And you knew where it was going because they weren't going to flip it, you know, right before Mania again.
That would have been a move.
Chomp and Dorf, very good, I thought.
Yes.
Very good. Chompa has a main event theme.
The theme is so good.
At the top of the card with that theme? My God. Jeez.
It's the best one AEW's produced.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
when I see it, when he comes down the ring, I think it's the main event. Like, my God, no one has a theme like that in the company.
Well, because, again, you turn out the lights, you do the – I mean, I was walking around singing the – like, it just gets stuck in my head. Like, I'm walking around singing that like a madman. My wife's looking at me like I'm crazy for the rest of the night. Because my shadow knows my story. All right, that is your matches of the week. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of really good candidates next week with Dynasty, of course. We're getting closer and closer to WrestleMania. Make sure you comment and subscribe because Brian's going to be out there. He's going to give us some great content for WrestleMania next weekend. Check it out. All the stuff we've got. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Dynasty, WrestleMania. It's all coming up. And we're going to talk about it next week right here on GKW.